So our text for this morning's meditation is from Isaiah chapter 40. These words, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the question could be raised as to why God would comfort the children of Israel, that God would comfort them by calling them to repentance. That's what our text is about. It's about the preaching of John the Baptist, prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, some 800 years before John's time. How could such calling to repentance be comforting? How? Well, let's consider for a few moments the predicament of the children of Israel, of the Jews, the last two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, living in what the Romans called Judea in the first century. There, at the time of John the Baptist, the Jews were living under Roman occupation, and they had been under Roman occupation for almost a century. Before that, they'd enjoyed a few decades of relative independence under the Hasmonean dynasty, but before the Hasmoneans, the Jews had been under the thumb of the Seleucids, and then the Macedonians, before that the Persians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians. Yes, at the end of the Old Testament, the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem that we read about in Scripture, a little over four centuries before Christ, things were looking somewhat up for the Jews, but still the only reason the Jews were allowed to return to Jerusalem at that time and rebuild the temple was because the Persians had defeated the Babylonians. In modern terms, the Iranians had defeated the Iraqis, and the king of Persia had declared that the Jews should return. But the Jews, even then, were still under the control of the Persians. So for four centuries, 400 years, the Jews there in and around Jerusalem has experienced one occupation after another, one war after another, and in turn, they themselves attempted to rebel every now and then against whomever had gained control over them. Even during the lifetimes of John the Baptist and Jesus our Savior, there had been a number of such rebellions, unsuccessful rebellions, but rebellions nonetheless. Could be said, I suppose, that to be a Jew at that time, the time of John the Baptist, the time of Jesus, was to be at war, to be constantly striving and straining to gain some semblance of political freedom. But it's not as if the Romans or the Seleucids or the Macedonians, the Persians, the Babylonians, or the Assyrians were acting on their own in their subjugation of the Jews. No, they were, in fact, all of those empires, all of those armies were acting on behest of the Lord of armies, the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord God himself, who was, via those armies, those occupations, chastening the children of Israel, that is, inflicting suffering upon them for their good. The children of Israel were not just at war with the Romans, the Seleucids, the Macedonians, the Persians, the Babylonians, and the Assyrians. The Jews were at war with God. Why were they at war with God? Why? Well, they just didn't like God. They didn't like the way God wanted them to live. God wanted them to live in love, a life lived according to the very definition of love, and that is according to the Ten Commandments. And that life of love flowed from the temple of God there in Jerusalem, from their love of God, then leading to their love of their parents, and their love of their neighbors and their spouses, and the love of all those people around them. All of these ideas flowing from the temple and the priesthood there, and the sacrifices and rituals like the Passover and the Day of Atonement, that just wasn't that appealing. That traditional life of the Jews centered upon the temple in Jerusalem, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. So the Jews sought to free themselves from it. There were Jews, for example, who wanted a king. And there were Jews who wanted to be Greeks. And there were Jews who married Greeks. And Jews who profited from their association with the Romans. There were Jews who wanted to control the life of other Jews. And Jews kept under the thumb of their own countrymen. So by the time of John the Baptist, the Jews were a political and social mishmash of trouble. Synagogues had sprouted up in the towns of decent size throughout Judea, diminishing the authority of that one temple in Jerusalem. Theological schools of thought had formed, like those of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes that the historian Josephus tells us about, all offering different ways of understanding that temple in Jerusalem. The Pharisees, they were the theologians of the poor. The Sadducees, the theologians of the rich. The Essenes, the theologians of those who just wanted to get away from society altogether. There were political factions, like the Herodians, who hoped that by associating with the family of Herod the Great, they too could gain political power. And there were zealots, the zealots, a group mentioned by the historian Josephus, who had their own specific political agenda. Beyond Judea, there were large concentrations of Jews, like those in Alexandria, Egypt, perhaps where Joseph and Mary and Jesus stayed when they fled to Egypt to get away from Herod the Great. There were societies of Jews who had intermarried with the surrounding people, thus the Samaritans, who the Jews hated. But there were also Jews who had married Greeks, like I mentioned. The Apostle Timothy's mother, Eunice, had done that. So, as we read in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, as the children of Israel had been rebellious, fighting tooth and nail with God, almost from the moment of their redemption from Egypt, even centuries later, they continued in their warfare with God. That's how they lived. So how about us? How about us? Do we find ourselves in the here and now at warfare with God? We just might be. For do we really want to live? Do we really want to live like God our Heavenly Father wants us to live? Or do we still just want Him to be there at a distance to pick up the pieces when we have made a mess of things, so that we can go about, well, then making a mess of things once again? But why the mess? Why the pieces? Why the troubles? Why the problems? Why the destroyed relationships? Why the regrets? Even the self-loathing? Is that God's fault? Or is it simply us being at warfare with God, thinking that somehow we've got a better way to live than what He would have us do, even though His way is the best way to live, and it's the most productive way to live, and the most beneficial way to live, and even the most rewarding way to live? You know, it's at that moment when we hear those words coming out of our mouths, words we swore we would never say to our children because we hated it when our parents said it to us. It's at that moment when we say to our children those exact same words. They come out of our mouth, just poof, because I told you so. That moment, right then, that we realize not that we've become our parents, but that our parents were doing what they should do as parents. And we as children were just rebelling against them. They weren't at warfare with us. They were just being parents attempting to keep us alive and turn us into adults who could contribute meaningfully to society. Well, God, our loving Heavenly Father, He's not at warfare with us either. He instead is our loving Heavenly Father, waiting patiently for us to acknowledge ourselves to be the rebels that we truly are, prodigals in the truest sense, trying to live life on our terms, only finding ourselves to be slopping hogs at the end of the day and longing to eat the food that those hogs were getting. So the message of the prophet Isaiah, the prophecy of the preaching of John the Baptist, the preaching of repentance and forgiveness some 8 centuries later, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. What's iniquity? Iniquity is another word for sin. So what then? Does God want us to live our lives as lives emanating from the temple in Jerusalem with all its sacrifices and rites and rituals? Is that what God wants? No. God, our loving Heavenly Father, would that we live our lives as emanating from His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He would that we repent of our sin, that is, feel remorse for the things that we have done, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, commit ourselves to live a new way, a different way, His way. That is the way of love, encouragement, strength. These He gives us in spades, assuring us that our sins are forgiven daily. I mean, in the parable of the prodigal son, it wasn't the father who was angry because the prodigal returned. It was the prodigal's brother. He couldn't understand why his father would forgive a son who had done such terrible things. Now, perhaps we found ourselves thinking in this way as well, but not about a brother or sister, but about ourselves. How could we have done that? How could we have said that? How could we have thought that? Well, let's not do that. Let's instead find comfort and be at peace in the comfort of the forgiveness which is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. And in that comfort that we receive, love those around us with the same type of comfort, that is forgiveness. Let's not be at warfare with anyone. Yes, they might be at warfare with us, but let us see our old Adam and what they're doing. That yes, but by the comfort spoken to us that our sins are forgiven, we too would be at warfare with those around us. You know, someone said to me just this last week, not a member of the congregation, I regret that I learned too late in life that I have to have an abundance of money before I can be generous with it with those around me. Just a casual conversation I had. His point, when he didn't have much money and was generous with it, he actually hurt himself because then he couldn't pay his bills. We can catch ourselves thinking just this way about love. That since we still seem to be duking it out with God and our standing before Him is in constant doubt, how can we be generous with those around us? Let's catch ourselves when we find ourselves thinking in such a way. And here remember what we read in the second epistle to the Corinthians, the very beginning there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Is God our loving Heavenly Father at war with us? No. But we could counter, what about the time that, and what about that sickness, and what about that? Yeah, what about? What about? Our loving Heavenly Father is not at war with us. Now, if we want to be at war with Him to justify what we've done, the consequences of what we've done, well, let's just admit it. That's on us. That's on us. It's really and truly on us. So why don't we just simply stop and embrace through faith in Jesus Christ the comfort that God, our loving Heavenly Father, has promised to us. And let's see how that goes. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.